The booklet, Who is the Beast? By Herbert W. Armstrong.
Who is the Beast? If you have his mark, you must suffer the seven last plagues. Is he a mysterious Superman, world dictator yet to appear? Is he the Antichrist, or a government, or a church? The most important question of the hour is, what or who is the Beast, the image of the Beast, and the mark of the beast spoken of in the book of Revelation? Whatever this weird beast, whatever the baffling image, whatever the mysterious mark, it behooves you and me to find out. For it is those of this very present generation who shall be worshipping this beast or his image, or shall have received his mark, that will suffer the unspeakable torture of the seven last plagues. Ignorance will not excuse. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, says the Eternal in Hosea 4:6, and the illustration of Ezekiel's watchman shows that those who are unaware, because they are not warned, will suffer just the same, Ezekiel 33:6 and 3:18. God expects the spiritual leader of his people to be his watchman, Ezekiel 33:7, and to warn the people. The time is at hand. The plagues of God's wrath will soon be poured out, unmixed and undiluted, full strength upon a heedless, God-defying world and a careless, lukewarm, indifferent Christianity. Who shall suffer the plagues? Listen, John in Revelation describes the last, final warning message. If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. Revelation 14, verses 9 and 10. Listen again. John, carried forward in vision into the terrible day of the Lord, sees these plagues beginning to fall. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven last plagues, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Revelation 15:6 and 16:2. Every sign tells us these things will happen, plunging the world into the most frantic, frenzied state of anguish ever known, almost certainly within a matter of a few years. Those who suffer the wrath of Almighty God are described as those who worship the beast, or his image, or have his mark. It is futile to try to imagine, as so many are doing, what the mark of the beast may be. Too many are trying to speculate in their imaginations. But God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." We can't work this out in our minds. We are face to face with a stern reality, not an imaginary fairy tale. There is only one way to learn the truth. That is, to study carefully, cautiously, prayerfully, with an open mind yielded to and guided by the Holy Spirit, all the testimony of all the scriptures that bear on this question. We cannot determine what the mark of the beast may be until we have learned what or who the beast is. For, of course, the mark is the beast's mark. Who, what then, is the beast? The Bible description of the beast. The beast, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast are all described primarily in the 13th chapter of Revelation. Notice carefully this Bible description. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2. Now most of those who are teaching and preaching to others on these subjects overlook entirely this description, for this description will identify the beast. If the beast is some mysterious Superman or Antichrist, soon to appear as world dictator, he will be a peculiar-looking individual indeed, for he will have seven heads and ten horns. Have you ever seen a man with seven heads and ten horns growing out of one of his heads? And did you ever see a man who was like a leopard? And can you imagine a Superman coming who will have the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion? And will he appear by coming up out of some ocean? Now these, of course, are all symbols. The very word beast is a symbol. And our problem is to interpret the symbols, for they stand for real, literal things. And when we know what the heads and the horns are, what the feet of the bear, the mouth of the lion, and likeness to a leopard all mean, then we can know what or who the beast really is. The Bible interprets its own symbols. The point we want to stress is that the Bible interprets its own symbols. If we want the truth, we must be guided solely by the Bible interpretation, not man's interpretations and imaginations. And the Bible itself tells us what they represent. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, we find exactly these same symbols described. Here again are the beasts, the 7 heads, the 10 horns, and here also is the lion, the bear, and the leopard. And here the Bible tells us what these symbols represent. God had given Daniel understanding in dreams and visions, Daniel 1:17. And Daniel had a dream and a vision, Daniel 7:1, in which he saw 4 great beasts, verse 3. And notice, as in Revelation, the beast came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, verse 4. The second was like a bear, verse 5. The third like a leopard, verse 6. And the fourth was so dreadful and terrible it could not be compared to any wild beast known to inhabit the earth. Now there was only one head described on the lion, one for the bear, one for the fourth beast, but the third beast, the leopard, had 4 heads, thus making 7 heads in all, and out of this great and terrible fourth beast grew 10 horns. Now notice verse 16, latter part. Here comes the interpretation of the things. The question is, will we accept this Bible interpretation of the 7 heads, the 10 horns, the lion, the bear, and the leopard? These great beasts, which are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth, is the interpretation of verse 17. And the word king is synonymous with kingdom, and used only in the sense that the king represents the kingdom over which he rules, for in verse 23 we read, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth." Notice also the word kingdom is used to explain the beasts in verses 18, 22, 24, and 27. Now what do the horns represent? Notice verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Notice the 10 horns or 10 succeeding kingdoms or governments come out of a kingdom, not out of a man or a superman. This alone makes plain that the beast is not some mysterious personal superman yet to come. Also that the beast is not the Roman Catholic Church, for no 10 kingdoms ever did or will come out of that church. And since king in these prophecies only stands for the kingdom he represents, and since the words are used interchangeably, it follows that these 10 horns are 10 succeeding kingdoms growing out of the fourth kingdom, which was to rule the world. Identification of the kingdoms. These same 4 world-ruling Gentile kingdoms are described in the 2nd chapter of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar of the Chaldean Empire, who had taken the Jews captive, had a dream, the meaning of which God revealed to Daniel. The dream is described in verses 31 through 35. The king saw a great image. Its head was of gold, its breast and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of brass, its legs of iron, and its feet and toes were part iron and part clay. Finally, a stone, not in men's hands, but supernaturally, smote the image upon his feet and toes. It was broken in pieces and was blown away like chaff. Then the stone that smashed it became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This, Daniel says, beginning verse 36, is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof to the king. You are this head of gold, and after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Verses 36 through 40. The interpretation of the stone smashing the image at its toes is found in the 44th verse. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and shall consume all these nations, and it shall stand forever. The stone is Christ and his kingdom. The interpretation of the stone is given many places in the Bible. Jesus of Nazareth is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become head of the corner. Acts 4, verses 10 and 11. And so we see that here are four universal world-ruling Gentile kingdoms. They begin with the Chaldean Empire, which took the Jews captive to Babylon. They continue through four great universal kingdoms, and out of the fourth grows 10 succeeding governments. These carry to the time of the second coming of Christ and the setting up of the kingdom of God to fill the whole earth and last forever. The fourth beast. Plainly, here are described the same four universal world-ruling Gentile powers that are described by Daniel's four beasts. And this dream image identifies who they are. The first was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, the Chaldean Empire, called Babylon after the name of his capital city, 625 through 539 BC. The second kingdom which followed then, we know from history, was the Persian Empire, 558 through 330 BC, often called Medo-Persia, composed of Medes and Persians. All ancient history students know the third world kingdom was Greece, or Macedonia under Alexander the Great, who conquered the great Persian Empire, 333 through 330 BC. But Alexander lived only a short year after his swift conquest, and his four generals divided his vast empire into four regions: Macedonia and Greece, Thrace and Western Asia, Syria and territory east to the Indus River, and Egypt. So these were the four heads of the third beast of Daniel 7. And the fourth kingdom, which, developing from Rome, spread out and gradually absorbed one after another these four divisions, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, was the Roman Empire, 31 BC to AD 476. It had absorbed all the others, occupied all their territory, was greater and stronger than all. It included all the royal splendor of ancient Babylon, thus having the head, the strongest part, of the lion. It had all the massiveness and numerically powerful army of the Persian Empire, symbolized by the legs, the most powerful part of the bear. It was the greatest war-making machine the world had ever seen, and it also possessed the swiftness, the cunning, the cruelty of Alexander's army, symbolized by the leopard. And thus, this fourth beast was unlike any wild beast of the earth. It was stronger, greater, more terrible than any. And so John, in Revelation 13, sees not four beasts, but one beast. Not a leopard, but like a leopard, possessing all its cunning, cruelty, and speed. But it also possessed the dominant characteristics of the two other most powerful beasts, the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. Daniel's fourth beast, the Roman Empire, had absorbed, and therefore it included, the three beasts before it. Thus it included all seven heads, and John's beast also has seven heads. It was Daniel's fourth beast only, which had 10 horns, and John's beast had 10 horns. And so, if we are willing to be guided solely by the Bible description of this beast, and to let the Bible interpret the symbols used to describe it, we come to the inevitable conclusion that the beast of Revelation 13 is the Roman Empire of 31 BC to AD 476. Of course, many man-imagined theories, widely taught and published, interpret this beast otherwise. Some as the Roman Catholic Church, some as a mysterious individual, Superman, yet to come. But these theories will not stand the test of applying the Bible interpretation to all the symbols that describe this beast. Nebuchadnezzar's image, by the two legs, describes the two divisions of the Roman Empire after AD 330, west with capital at Rome, and east with capital at Constantinople. John also pictures this beast not as a church or as an individual man, but as a powerful government having a great army. For they worship the beast by saying, "Who is able to make war with him?" Revelation 13:4. The symbolism of the horns. Let us now notice the symbolism of the horns of the fourth beast of Daniel 7 and of the beast of Revelation 13. The 10 horns symbolize the same thing: the 10 stages of government continuing out of the Roman Empire after its fall, AD 476. The 10 horns out of this kingdom, the fourth, the Roman Empire, 31 BC to AD 476, are 10 kings that shall arise, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, not in heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Daniel 7, verses 24 and 27. The 10 horns, then, are 10 kingdoms to arise out of the fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire. These kings, also called kingdoms, continue from AD 476 until the time when the stone, Christ and his kingdom, smashes the image on its toes and the kingdom is given to the saints. Therefore, since in actual history there have never been 10 contemporaneous kingdoms that have continued out of the Roman Empire side by side down to the present, and since there have been 9 successive kingdoms ruling that territory, which we shall explain from 476 to the present, therefore we know that the kingdoms represented by the horns are successive, not contemporaneous. The deadly wound. Now let us return to our description of the beast in Revelation 13. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Revelation 13, 3-5. The beast here symbolized is the one which included the royal splendor and kingly power symbolized by the mouth of the lion, Babylon, the ponderous strength symbolized by the feet of the bear, Medo-Persia, and the speed, cunning, and cruelty of the leopard, Greece. Since the interpretation of these symbols is found in Daniel 7, and since the fourth beast had 10 horns, the Bible interpretation of the beast of Revelation 13 is the fourth beast of Daniel 7, the Roman Empire of 31 BC to AD 476. The beast described by John in Revelation 13 included 7 heads, but the only head existing at the time John saw this nondescript beast, which included the most powerful characteristic of all the beasts symbolizing his predecessors, was that of the fourth beast of Daniel, containing the 7th head and also the 10 horns. So the specific one of its heads that was wounded to death was the 7th head of the Roman Empire, the head out of which 10 horns grew. The 10 horns, as Daniel interprets, represent 10 successive governments out of the Roman Empire, which were to continue until the setting up of the kingdom of God at the second coming of Christ. The deadly wound, then, was the one administered to the Roman Empire when in its last decaying stages the barbarians overran it, ending its government in AD 476. Notice, the dragon gave his power to the beast. Who is the dragon? Some have said pagan Rome, but will we be guided solely by the Bible interpretation of its own symbols? Then, if we will, the dragon is a symbol which means Satan, the devil. Notice Revelation 12. The great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, verse 9. He was cast out into the earth. The devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, verses 9, 12, 13. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, Revelation 20, verse 2. They worship the beast, Revelation 13, 4. Therefore, some conclude from this one statement alone that the beast must be the papacy, not knowing that the people worship the Roman Empire and its emperors. Notice how they worship the beast, saying, Who is able to make war with him? The Roman Empire was the greatest war-making power the world had ever known, but the Catholic Church never had an army. This beast killed by the sword, verse 10, but the Catholic Church never did. History is full of accounts of the worship of the Roman emperors, for paganism was a state religion. The following is from Robinson's Medieval and Modern Times, an older college textbook, page 7. The worship of the emperor. In a word, the Roman government was not only wonderfully organized, everyone was required to join in the worship of the emperor, because he stood for the majesty and glory of the dominion. All were obliged, as good citizens, to join in the official sacrifices to the head of the state as a god. But when the 7th head of this great beast received its deadly wound in AD 476, was that the end? No, the prophecy says, His deadly wound was healed, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. The 10 horns represent 10 successive kingdoms to follow out of this kingdom. So, through the 10 horns growing out of this head, the Roman Empire of 31 BC through AD 476, the beast, for the 10 horns are part of the beast, continues until the second coming of Christ. The text does not say the whole beast died, but one of his heads was wounded to death. The beast included the seven heads and the ten horns. John sees the beast living in the days of its seventh head, the Roman Empire. And when that head of the beast had its deadly wound, his, the beast's, deadly wound was healed. The head was dead, but the beast continued. The horns now reign one by one. The Roman Empire in northern Africa was overrun by the Vandals, who sacked Rome in 455. Then in 476, Odoacer set up his government at Rome, called the Heruli. But it did not heal the deadly wound, for this was a government in Rome. It was not a Roman government, but one of foreign barbarians. Then there was the kingdom of the Ostrogoths, 493 through 554, another outside foreign people who ruled in the territory. But they were driven out of Italy and disappeared. These three kingdoms, sweeping into the Roman territory, filled the period known in history as the Transition Age. See Meyer's Ancient History, page 571. That is, a transition between the wound and the healing. Now Daniel saw a little horn coming up among these ten, before whom these first three were plucked up by the roots. That leaves seven horns to come. And of the little horn, Daniel says, his look was more stout than his fellows. The papacy dominated completely all the horns to follow. The deadly wound healed. It was the fourth kingdom, symbolized by the fourth horn, succeeding the fall of the empire in 476, which really healed the deadly wound and restored the empire. In AD 554, Justinian, emperor of the East from Constantinople, set up his government through an imperial legate at Ravenna, Italy, and brought about what is known in history as the imperial restoration of the empire. Now, notice verse 5 of Revelation 13. Power was given to this beast, once healed, to continue 42 months. In the prophecies pertaining to the times of Israel's punishment, each day represents a year in the actual fulfillment. Ezekiel 4, verses 4 through 6, Numbers 14, verse 34. Thus the healed beast is to continue 1,260 years. Following the healing in 554 came the Frankish kingdom, the French, the Holy Roman Empire, the German, the Habsburg dynasty, Austrian, and Napoleon's kingdom, French. But when Napoleon was crushed in 1814, the healed beast continued no longer. So closed, says West Modern History, page 377, a government that dated from Augustus Caesar, from 31 BC. It went into abyss. And from 554 to 1814, the duration of the healed beast was exactly 1,260 years. At that time, eight of the horns having appeared and gone, the beast itself went into the non-existent condition symbolized in Revelation 17:8 as the bottomless pit. But by the year 1870, Garibaldi had united the many little divisions in the peninsula of Italy into one nation, and the kingdom thus established began the ninth horn, which culminated in the fascist rule of Mussolini. The heads the woman rode. We shall deal later more specifically with the 17th chapter of Revelation in this connection. Then we shall prove beyond doubt that the harlot woman, Babylon the Great, is the Roman Catholic Church. But let us note in passing that the woman, the Catholic Church, with the papacy, never rode on any part of this beast of Revelation 13 except its last seven horns. She is the little horn of Daniel 7, whose look was more stout than his fellows, and who caused the first three to be plucked up by the roots. Justinian was the first ruler who ever acknowledged the supremacy of the Pope in the West. And since in the 17th chapter the woman rode on all seven of the heads of the beast there pictured, and since she rode none of the heads but only the last seven of the horns of the 13th chapter beast, it follows that the seven horns of the healed beast of the 13th chapter form the seven heads of the beast of the 17th chapter. Notice at the time John saw the beast, five are fallen, one is, and one is yet to come, Revelation 17:10. The five that are fallen are the five during the 1260 years in which power was given by the papacy for the healed beast to continue. The one that is the kingdom that extended from Garibaldi to the downfall of Mussolini. It was not in any sense the power-wielding old Roman Empire, so during the stage of this ninth horn, Revelation 13, or sixth head, Revelation 17, John speaks of it as the beast that was and is not and shall arise once more out of the bottomless pit. The seventh head with its 10 horns in the 17th chapter will be, as the 17th chapter explains, the revival of the beast, the Roman Empire, out of the bottomless pit by a United States of Europe or a federation of 10 European nations centered within the bounds of the old Roman Empire. Revelation 17, verses 12 through 18. This is actually beginning today. The entire beast of Revelation 17, the revivals of the Roman Empire, is a part of the seven heads of Revelation 13 and Daniel 7 because it comprises the last 7 horns. Yet this revived Roman Empire is the 8th system differing from the 7 before it, Revelation 17:11. The number of the beast, 666, whose number is it? Where shall we find that mysterious number 666? Does the Pope, as some claim, wear it on his crown, identifying him as the beast of Revelation 13, or must we look for it elsewhere? Here are all the scriptures speaking directly of this number. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13, verses 17 and 18. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Revelation 15:2. Note these points. From these scriptures, we have the following definite points. The beast has a number and may be identified, if we have wisdom, by this number. 2. The number is 666. 3. We are told to count this number, that is, add it up. The same Greek word is used elsewhere, only in Luke 14:28, count the cost. 4. This number, 666, is the number of the beast. The only Bible interpretation of this symbol, beast, is a kingdom or the king who rules it, and therefore really is the kingdom. Daniel 7, verses 17, 18, 22, 23, 24, and 27. Therefore, 666 must be the number of the kingdom, or government, or empire, as well as that of the king who founds or rules it. 5. The expression, the name of the beast, or the number of his name, makes plain that the number 666 is the number of the name of the kingdom or empire. 6. The expression, it is the number of a man, shows we must also count this number in the name of the king or ruler over the kingdom identified as the beast. The beast is not the woman. In the 17th chapter of Revelation, we find a beast and a woman, a great wealthy woman called a whore, who was riding the beast. The Bible describes the symbol woman to mean a church. See 2 Corinthians 11:2, Revelation 19:7, Ephesians 5, verses 23 through 27. On the other hand, beast is a symbol of a kingdom or empire. The woman of the 17th chapter is described beyond possibility of doubt as the church which did reign over the kingdoms of the Holy Roman Empire. Let us be consistent. The beast of Revelation 13 is not the woman who rode the beast. The beast is the government, and the woman is the church. The beast of Revelation 13 is the Roman Empire. This beast had a deadly wound, Revelation 13:3. That means the beast died. It ceased altogether to exist or function. Yet its deadly wound was later healed, after which, verse 5, it continued to exist another 1260 years. Those who believe the Catholic Church is the beast say this deadly wound came in 1798, but the Pope was not forced into exile that year. The Catholic Church did not die, nor for one day did it cease to function. The popes did live in voluntary exile beginning some 60 years later as a protest against the Italian government until the agreement with Mussolini. But that could in no sense be called a wound to death, and those who teach this do not expect the Catholic Church to continue on another 1260 years. The founder of Rome. The founder and first king of Rome was Romulus. The Roman Empire was named after him. His name, the name of a man, also is the name of the kingdom, and every citizen in the kingdom bears the same name, a Roman. When John wrote this revelation, telling us to count the number of the beast, he wrote in the Greek language. Consequently, we should look for this name and the number 666 in this language recognized in the Bible, not in the Latin. We are all familiar with the Roman numerals where letters are used for numbers. All understand that I is 1, V is 5, X is 10, etc. But many do not know that the Greek language, in which the book of Revelation was written, also uses letters for numbers. In the Greek, the language in which Revelation was written, this name is Latinos. It signifies Latin man, or the name of Latium, from which region the Romans derived their origin and their language. This word, too, signifies Roman. In the Greek, L is 30, A is 1, T is 300, E is 5, I is 10, N is 50, O is 70, S is 200. Count these figures. They count to exactly 666. It is indeed no coincidence that the name of the kingdom, its founder and first king, and of each man in the kingdom counts to exactly 666. Certainly the beast stands identified. And Mussolini, too. But the same number, 666, was also branded in Latin on the man who dominated the puny sixth head of the symbolic beast. Mussolini called himself Il Duce. Italians shouted, Viva Il Duce, which means long live the chief. Everywhere in Italy was the printed sign, VV Il Duce. The VV is the abbreviation used for Viva. A V is used instead of the U, as is very commonly done. While this is a greeting or title, Mussolini actually employed Il Duce as a name. It is in Latin. Count it. V is 5, V is 5, I is 1, L is 50, D is 500, V is 5, C is 100, E has no number. Now count them and you have exactly 666. Thus this number, 666, is indelibly branded upon the Roman Empire. But some will ask, does not this number apply to the Pope? Some teach the words Vicarius Filii Dei are on the Pope's triple crown, and these Latin words in the Roman numerals count to 666. The Pope does, on some occasions, wear a triple crown, but these words are not on it. We should be careful to prove all things. The denomination which teaches this sent Professor C.T. Everson to Rome, where he gained access to and made diligent search in the Vatican archives, but he could find no crown or record of such a crown containing these words. Furthermore, these words are in the Latin, not a Bible language. This is not a name, but a title, and it is the name of the beast and the number of the name of the man of the beast we are told to count. Further, this Latin title does not apply to a kingdom or empire, but alone to a man. However, while Vicarius Filii Dei is not among the acknowledged titles of the Pope, see Catholic Encyclopedia, he does claim to be Vicar of Christ on earth. Also, for 1260 long years, the popes did reign and rule over the beast. They were, in effect, the religious heads of the empire, ruling over the emperors as well as over the church. And so is it indeed significant that this title, too, counts 666? And so this number is branded on the Roman Empire, on the founder and first king of the Latins, on every Roman, and even on Mussolini. Could anything be more conclusive? Satan has his civil government on earth. He gave it his power and his seat and great authority. He also has an ecclesiastical organization, a church, as his instrumentality in deceiving the world. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, we find Satan is transformed into an angel of light. According to Revelation 12:9 and 20:3, he has deceived the whole world. How? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, Satan has his ministers who pretend to be the ministers of righteousness, but are actually false apostles, deceitful workers, calling themselves the ministers of Christ. Therefore, they claim to be Christian ministers. They are the many, not the few, because all prophecies say it is the many, not the few, who have been deceived. Satan's main labor for 6,000 years has been the deceiving of the world. Now turn to the 13th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth,
and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Who, what, is this beast? Some say it will be the United States aligned with the papacy. Some believe it is a federation of Protestant churches. Others declared it the Pan-American Union. Most church organizations ignore this very vital subject completely, or say, frankly, we do not know. Why this ignorance when the answer is so plain? Yes, why indeed? The Bible Interpretation. Remember first, the Bible interprets its own symbols. When men put their own interpretation on Bible symbols, their conclusions are always false. Notice, after John saw one beast, which we have proved to be the Roman Empire, he now sees another, a different beast, rise up. We have learned that beast is a symbol for a kingdom or government, Daniel 7, verses 17 and 23, and the term represents either the kingdom or its leader, as the case may be, Daniel 7, verses 17 and 23. So this other beast with the two horns is the prophecy of another kingdom or government. In these prophecies, God pictures to us the earthly Gentile governments as the wild beasts whose characteristics describe them. This two-horned beast appeared as a lamb, but actually it spoke as a dragon, its true characteristic, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, Matthew 12:34. What does the word lamb symbolize in the Bible? The answer is Christ, John 1:29, Revelation 17:14. And dragon is a symbol of the devil, Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20, verse 2. So here is some kingdom or government masquerading as that of Christ or the kingdom of God, but actually being a government of Satan. Christ did not set up a government, kingdom, at his first appearing on earth. After his resurrection, the disciples asked him if he would at that time restore the kingdom, Acts 1:6, but he did not. The church is not the kingdom. Because some thought it was, Jesus spoke the parable of Luke 19, verses 11 through 27, to show that he first must ascend to his Father's throne in heaven to receive the royal power to become King of Kings, to set up the world-ruling kingdom of God. But Satan is a deceiver, and he has deceived the world into supposing his, Satan's, church and system of churches is the kingdom of God. Now notice carefully verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. The first beast is the Roman Empire. Here is another government, also controlled by Satan, pretending to be Christ's government, the kingdom of God, taking, exercising, using, employing all the power of the first kingdom, the Roman Empire. Now when he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 12. So it was after the deadly wound of AD 476 was healed. It was healed when Justinian brought about the restoration of the empire in the West in AD 554. Consequently, this religious government took over, exercised by ruling all the power of the Roman Empire after AD 554, when it was called the Holy Empire and later the Holy Roman Empire. Did a church government rule Rome? So here we have pictured a government, a religious government, appearing as Christ's government, masquerading as the kingdom of God, actually ruling the civil Roman Empire after AD 554. Was there such a government? Indeed there was, and only one. Prior to 554, Justinian had written a letter to the Pope acknowledging his supremacy in the West. And when he restored the empire in the West in 554, the popes dominated the Western Empire from Rome. The Roman Empire, thus restored to continue until 1814, 1260 years, became known later as the Holy Roman Empire. We read in history that the popes were accepted as the vicars of Christ, which means in place of Christ. The teaching was that the second coming of Christ had occurred. Christ had returned to earth as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords, in the person of the popes. The millennium had begun. For the entire 1260 years, the emperors accepted the popes as such, ruling the nations with a rod of iron, as Christ is to do when he really comes. Consequently, they acknowledged the supreme religious power of the popes. The church was organized as a government, as a dual, twofold government symbolized by its two horns or kingdoms, for horns symbolize kingdoms also, see Daniel 7:24. It embodied church government, and it also was a state or civil government, always occupying a certain amount of territory over which it alone ruled as an independent sovereign state, in addition to actually ruling over the vast civil kingdom called the Holy Roman Empire. Even today, it is a separate, independent, sovereign state. Most nations send ambassadors to the Vatican, just as they do to the United States, or to Italy, Britain, or the USSR. Notice the second beast was to wield power over all the earth, because it was to cause the earth and them that dwell therein to worship this first beast whose deadly wound was healed after 554. In most any encyclopedia, under Article Millennium, you will read the history of this very event, of how the Holy Roman Empire was called the Kingdom of God upon earth. They claimed the millennium had arrived. Notice verse 14, "And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." Verse 13 says, "He does great wonders." So notice these three points. 1. This beast performs miracles. 2. He performed them in the sight of the Holy Roman Empire, or the first beast. 3. With them he deceived all nations. All nations deceived. Where else in the Bible prophecies do we find these same identical facts? First, note Revelation 17. Here is pictured a woman. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 27, and elsewhere, we learn that woman is a symbol for church. This woman is a fallen woman, an apostate church, and a great one called the Great Whore, pictured as ruling over many nations, verses 1 and 15. In verse 3, this great false church is pictured sitting on a beast having 7 heads and 10 horns. A woman riding a horse guides, controls the horse. It does her bidding. It is well known by all who understand Bible prophecy that this 17th chapter of Revelation pictures the Roman Catholic Church ruling over the so-called Holy Roman Empire. Notice verse 18, "She is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Notice verse 2, "The inhabitants of the earth have been deceived by this great false church." Also, Revelation 18:3, "She has deceived all nations." Next, notice 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. "The day of Christ and the coming of Christ shall not come until there be a falling away and a man of sin be revealed. He exalts himself above all that is called God. As God, he sits in a temple claimed to be the temple of God, showing himself to deceive people into accepting him as God. God is our Holy Father. This man, then, would claim the same title. This wicked man is to be destroyed at and by Christ's coming," verse 8. Notice verses 9 and 10. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs," or miracles, "and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness." Here is the head of a vast ecclesiastical empire performing miracles and lying wonders with which he deceives people everywhere. At Armageddon, this deceiving religious ruler will still be active clear down to Armageddon and the second coming of Christ. In Revelation 16, verses 13 through 16, are described three foul spirits. They come from the dragon, which is the devil, from the beast, which is the civil Roman ruler, and from the mouth of the false prophet associated with the Roman ruler. For, continues verse 14, "they are the spirits of demons, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And they are gathered finally at Armageddon." Note it. Yet future, the Roman ruler, as the Roman Empire is again restored, along with a great religious leader, and all in the power and influence of the devil, working miracles. All prophecies concerning them show these powers doing the same things. Now, notice the last battle of the great day of God Almighty. It is in Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. Here is pictured the beast, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that had worshipped his image. Note it. Compare with the two-horned beast of Revelation 13, verses 11 through 17. 1. Both perform miracles. 2. Both perform them before, or in the sight of, the beast. 3. with them, both the false prophet and two-horned beast, deceive them that have the mark of the beast, cause them to receive that mark. Revelation 13:16. Certainly then, this two-horned beast, the false prophet, the man of sin, and the woman that rode the beast are all one and the same thing. The Roman Catholic Church, with its pope, its other bishops, its priests and deacons, comprising the hierarchy of order. Now, did the two-horned beast deceive the very ones who have the mark of the beast? He did. Continue in Revelation 13. And deceives them that dwell on the earth. How? Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, trade, earn a living, hold a job, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verses 14-17. So notice, this two-horned beast not only caused people to receive the mark of the beast, compare Revelation 19:20, but also perpetrated the forming of an image that caused the martyrdom of saints. As many as would not worship this image were caused to be killed. This false church did not kill them, she caused them to be killed. History shows that the civil government of the Roman Empire martyred millions who were declared anathema from Christ or heretics by the church. Compare with the woman who rode the beast in Revelation 17. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the martyrs of Jesus. Verse 6. Certainly these are one and the same, the image of the beast. Now this great church, which is a twofold government, deceived the people by saying they should make an image of the beast. Note it, Revelation 13:14. That is how this church deceived people. What is an image? The dictionary says a likeness, a copy, representation, model, semblance, counterpart. So here is a great church saying, let us make a model or counterpart of the civil Roman government, for that is what the beast is, a pagan government. Jesus Christ proclaimed the kingdom or government of God, divine government by will of God and by God's law, not paganized human government by will of man and man-made laws. His church includes all spirit-begotten saints who have and are led by the Holy Spirit. Christ is its only head, and its kingdom is not of this world. Where, then, did human church government derive its present form? The first pope, in the real sense of the word, was Leo I, 440-461 A.D., says the Cyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature, Volume 7, page 629. To him, the form of government of the Roman Empire was the most marvelous thing on earth. It became an obsession. He applied his principles to the church, organized the church into a government, forming the papacy. This church government, or organization, is the image of the beast. Says Myers, Ancient History, during the reign of Leo I, the church set up within the Roman Empire an ecclesiastical state, or government, which, in its constitution and its administrative system, was shaping itself upon the imperial model. This church government, then, according to this historical authority, is in fact a model, a counterpart, an image of the beast, which is the Roman Empire government. The Britannica calls it an ecclesiastical world empire. This image, man-designed and man-ruled church government, compelled people to worship the church. And since the church was organized into a worldly government, this was worship of the image, false worship, idolatry. But this church became a mother, and daughter churches came out of her in protest, calling themselves Protestant. And all have worldly political church government. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, Revelation 17:5. Her daughters are called harlots. Together they are called Babylon. They are pagan, teaching pagan doctrines and customs, cloaked in the name of Christianity, and all nations are deceived. Yes, human-organized churchianity, not Bible-designed spiritual organism government, is the image of the beast. It is the pagan political counterfeit of God's government. Come out of her, God says, Revelation 18:4, God help us to heed.
This completes the reading of the booklet by Herbert W. Armstrong, Who is the Beast? Your reader has been Garland Snuffer.